So, there's something I learned a long time ago, especially doing YouTube, that if something's happening around you, yourself or people around you, if something's happening around you that you're going through, then other people are going through it. So it came up in a conversation last night. The conversation was, about when you get, do you get mad, getting mad at people, you know, something to that effect. And the question was, do you get mad anymore? And the answer is no. I mean, sometimes you get mad, but yeah, you might get mad, but you control it, you know. And so I want to talk about this. And so the Bible says to be angry and sin not, right? So it's okay to get mad at stuff, you know. Let's say your neighbor comes across the street and starts throwing a fit about something in the yard or something. I mean, just any scenario, really. So how do you overcome it? Well, the way you overcome anything is memorize the scripture, because you're just retraining your brain. But an easy way to overcome it is go to source code knowledge. Now, here's the deal. I know people don't necessarily believe it, but source code knowledge to control your temper would be something like this, right? It would be let me use an example. So let's say I'm doing a ride share and somebody's in the back seat or even in the passenger seat to the right, and they start to get angry or they start to make you angry. Once you see the temperature rising, if they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, you say, well, should I just pull over and let you get a new ride share, a new Uber? And they'll say, nah, I'm good, I'm okay. You have to remind some people that it's a privilege to be able to be in your presence, you know, or to be in your car or be in your, and there needs to be certain rules of engagement in society, you know, boundaries. But there's even a deeper level, you know. So psychologically, you can calm stuff down. But there's even a deeper level. And the deeper level is, let's say there's something going on in the news that's not even directly connected to you, but it makes you mad because you see stuff going on in the news. Let's say something in the, let's say you're watching a Law and Order channel. I don't even know. There's a YouTube channel talking about all the different cases. Let's say there's a case that makes you mad, right? Well, you have to realize you're looking at a different version of yourself. That person just took a different path. That's all. They just took a different path. They made the wrong choices. They chose to go a different path. Sidebar. For the last year, not the last year, since January, I've been seeing these Publix trucks going down the highway opposite of me. And now I'm going down the highway and there's one right beside me. But this has been like a, I don't know, I don't want to call it an omen because it's a good omen, but it's almost like these Publix trucks are trying to tell me something, you know. I don't know what it means yet, but we'll find out soon enough, I guess. There's always data points, but also that even applies. So let's say you have a pattern where things on the news make you mad, or your neighbor makes you mad, or family member makes you mad. certain people that make you angry for no reason, I mean, it might be internal, but if it's somebody who's always provoking you, coming across the street, knocking on your door, or getting in your business or getting in your life, or they're trying to manipulate you or whatever, the secret is put up boundaries. So there's many ways to overcome it. I haven't prepared this message. I just woke up. So, but the biggest thing is, let's say, so when you're going down the highway and somebody cuts you off, you know, have you ever done it? Have you ever cut people off? And even when Jesus, those people were mad at that lady trying to stone her to death, and Jesus bent down and wrote in the sand, and he said, have you broke the Ten Commandments? You know, have you broke any of the Ten Commandments? Are you guilty? Have you had a thought? That lady was called in adultery. So he's pretty much saying, if you have had the thought, you're guilty of it too. Even if you had a thought go through your mind, you know, you're guilty. Everybody's guilty of the very thing that they're mad about. Maybe not exactly the same thing, but something else. And I noticed that in my second marriage. There was this like an 18-year-old girl across the street. She looked out the door and she said, can you believe that she's pregnant? And she's not married? I said, what are you talking about? You did it. I said, what are you talking about? You did it. She looked at me like she wanted to kill me. Because I was showing her a mirror. She was angry at that lady. She might not have done exactly the same thing, but she's done something similar. Maybe even worse. I know for sure she's done worse. But my point is, she was angry at somebody putting that person under a legalistic rule, and especially somebody younger and more ignorant than her, and she's sitting there judging her when she's just as guilty or guilty of worse. And I know she's guilty of worse. And so my point is, when you call people out on the fact that they can't see that they're just as guilty as the other people, and a lot of times people know they're guilty, but they still blame shift. They want to blame it on to somebody else instead of just saying, okay, I could blame this other person for what I did. I'm the one that's guilty. So when it comes to anger, have we done stuff to upset people? Yes. Are we just as guilty? Yes. So no matter what it is, even if we're talking about whatever, instead of anger, anything, any kind of sin, you know, yeah, other people mess up. They're human. You mess up. You're human. Jesus was perfect. So we don't expect a human to be perfect. Now, there are certain lines that people cross that you just can't put up with, and you set the boundaries, right? And you don't have to be mad at them. You just set the boundaries. The reason I'm trying to talk in such generality, because this could apply to anything. This doesn't have to be about anger. This could be about whatever, anything. Anything that you're dealing with. It's usually dealing with another person, right? Most sins or most things that upset you is because of other people. Whether it's a system that other people made or whatever. It's usually you're looking out at somebody else and you're mad at them. But you really can't be mad at them or upset at them or upset at the situation or whatever it is. if you step to the next level, if you only focus about your walk and raising your vibration and raising your awareness, your inner man, then the other person doesn't really matter. Because if you're maintaining your stuff and you've got all the proper boundaries, then you see somebody going in a ditch, you try to help them out. So it really goes back to the old saying, Galatians 6:1. If you see somebody in a fault, you try to restore them, but you got to do it in humility because you might fall into the same condemnation. So whatever it is that makes you mad, that person is in a ditch. It might be temporary, it might be just for a moment, but you try to pull that person out of the ditch. But you got to be careful, because as you're pulling them out of the ditch, they could pull you into the ditch with them. And so apply across the board whatever you're dealing with. If something in other people makes you mad, it's really not them, to be honest with you. It's really something inside you. And so if you see people caught in a ditch, whether they're getting mad at you, whether they're acting dumb, whether they're acting foolish, whether they're have a bad habit, whatever they're doing, they're in that ditch because they chose to go in the ditch on their own. There's always a way out. God will not put on you more than you can handle. They're in the ditch and they don't know how to get out. So you reach down and you give them a hand to pull them out of the ditch. But you got to be careful. You got to be humble, not prideful, because like you're better than them. Because if you're trying to pull somebody out of a spiritual ditch, they could pull you right down there with them, and your pride could pull you right down there with them. Most of the time it's about pride, you know. So let's say they have a problem with XYZ, and you go over there and say, I'm going to pull you out of the ditch with pride, and then you step into pride and arrogance, like, I'm better than you. No, we're all beggars at the foot of the cross. So on the one hand, just see yourself as a beggar at the foot of the cross. If you've overcome that obstacle or that sin or that habit, addiction, whatever, you've overcome that, doesn't mean that other people can overcome it without some help. You know, you look at people and say, why don't you overcome that? What are you, weak? What are you, just a little weakling? But you don't know what they've been through. Certain things that are obvious, where a person just stays in laziness or stays in codependency, enabling stuff. When you hold people accountable, if you've ever been any kind of manager or whatever, you learn that you hold that employee accountable and they're going to get mad. You know they're going to get mad. But they're mad at themselves because they signed up for the job. They agreed to it. So when Jesus says, you come follow me, be my disciple, and he calls you out on something and you get mad, oh, you don't want to be a disciple? I thought you wanted to be a disciple. I thought you wanted to take up your cross. Other people might not be a disciple just because others may, but you cannot. I had a 80-year-old lady one time. She had this refuge called the Refuge. I had to leave Florida, so I stayed there for a month till I could get out of there. And she gave me a tract. Says, others may, but you cannot. And I said, what does that mean? I saw this before too when I was younger. People say, I can't believe they're divorced. And you're like, okay, just wait a few years. And then 5 years later, they're divorced. They pointed their finger. They had 3-point back. They pointed their finger because somebody went through a divorce. They don't know all the ins and outs. They could have been married to a narcissist or whatever. We didn't know what narcissism was back in the day, but we do now. Everybody's got a tinge of narcissism. I saw this a lot, especially in the church. I can't believe they're divorced. And then 5 years later, think about this. Or you go to their house and you go in and visit and they're fighting like cats and dogs, you know. It's like, oh, I'd rather be divorced than be having Jerry Springer in the house, you know? And so my point is, judge not lest you be judged. Now, you can judge a situation whether you want to be in it or not. But you can't judge while somebody got stuck in a ditch, you know? So then if you want to look at it from another perspective to try to overcome this, from a holographic fractal perspective, everything's a story. There's always a villain and there's always a hero. So in some people's storyline, you're a villain. They look at you and they think you're a villain and you didn't even do what they thought you did. And some people look at you and you're a hero. But the fact of the reality is you're somewhere in between. Because in your flesh is no good thing. So in your flesh, you're just a villain. If you're in Christ by faith alone and Jesus alone, and you've received the Holy Spirit, and you're spirit-filled, especially if you're spirit-filled, you're the hero. I've met some heroes in my life, and I've met some villains. But then over the years, I look back. And when I was mad at the villain, I got away from him and I was no longer mad at him, because the villain doesn't even know they're a villain. And in somebody's life, they probably are a hero. About 99% chance they're a hero. But as a villain, from your perspective, you have to think, well, maybe I'm a villain in some people's lives. If somebody's making you mad because they're a villain, well, you're a villain in some people's storyline. You can't make everybody happy, and you can't people pleasing and make everybody happy. Somebody's not going to like you, but that's okay. God looks at the heart. So when you really break it down, God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Everybody would have thought David in the Bible was a villain. And he was, in some sense, but from the natural, but in God's perspective, David had a heart towards God. So from God's perspective, David was a hero because his heart was right. So from a view from a simulation theory, it's all a simulation, a simulated training program to push you higher, to push you towards the mind of Christ. And it don't matter what other people are doing, whether you're facing off with a villain, a hero, somewhere in between. It's all to turn you back to the mind of Christ, because this place is just a simulated training program to get your heart right. And so when you can forgive the villains in your life, when you can ask God to forgive you and forgive yourself. You know, forgiving yourself is a lot of the issue. A lot of times people can't forgive other people because deep down somewhere they can't forgive themselves. So they're really mad at themselves, but they'll never admit it. It's because they did something in their life that internal shame, something in there, there's some kind of shame in their life that they don't feel like they could ever be forgiven for, a lot of times. And a lot of times they're mad at themselves. I'm trying to do five things at once. So they're mad at themselves, but they have to project it out, being mad at somebody else. I didn't know how bad. When we project our internal stuff onto other people, I didn't know that. I didn't really understand how bad that was. That's bad. I didn't know understand how rampant it was. And it's rampant. If you wake up to that and you start to become, just get quiet, and as you're going about your day and your job, you'll find out a lot of people are projecting onto you. On the job, at home, family, spouse, a lot of people are projecting onto you what's really inside, where they're mad at themselves. You can try to solve stuff with psychology all day long, but there's only a there's a limit to what you can do. Psychologically, yeah, you might solve some problems. I worked at the Wilmington Treatment Center as a maintenance man, and I watched the people with addictions come in there. Some of them would leave, never come back. Most of them would be back next month. And they'd go out back, the ones with the addictions go out back, hang out together. And they'd still be hanging out with the same kind of people. Because those people enabled those addictions and those ways and those strongholds of thought. It's really not an addiction, it's a thought process. So if you change your thinking, if you change your stinking thinking, then your behavior changes. Your beliefs determine your behavior. Your doctrine determines your behavior. So you change the way you think with new information, Bible verses, good preaching, fundamental Baptist preaching. Whenever you hear something, a sermon, say, it's me, O Lord, saying, not the other person. And when you really start to apply it on a daily basis and cut the music off, the TV off, and you start to do the internal transformation, you have to stick with it. And I don't care what you have to do, fast or pray or put something on your finger to remind yourself for 21 days, you start a pattern of inner renewal. And you see a change and you say, wow, I like this. God, give me the strength to change. And you start to see a change in your life. Then it becomes addictive. The health, wealth, and internal joy becomes addictive. And then you look back and you see other people who are still stuck. You overcome this in the inside because God changed you on the inside, and you overcome all those things. And then you look back and you look at those other people who are still stuck in that habit, addiction, thought process, whatever, anger. And you look at them and you say, I used to be like that. That's an old version of me. And so you overcome because you see the other person that's doing all this stuff as an old version. You're looking at a quantum universe where you've changed your universe, and so those people no longer resonate with you because you've stepped into a new reality. But you're not mad or judging those people because they don't even know what they're doing, because it's always a mind game. So when you shift your thoughts, you shift your reality. You quantum jump to the next reality. And as you quantum jump to each stage of growth, you become a new creature, and a new creature, and you start to leave the 2D mindset, the Jerry Springer mindset. You step into 3D, and you start to, and then you get into 4D, and then 5D, and what I mean by that, 5D is the spirit walk. Take up your cross, and you start to enjoy it, because you challenge yourself, when this person, I know this person is going to come up to me tomorrow, and they're going to get in my face, and they're going to say something stupid. Instead of me responding, let me test myself and see if I can respond that person's opinion or actions towards me doesn't affect who I am, because my identity is in Christ. So it always goes back to your identity in Christ, right? So you don't have to let that other person upset you because they're not you. Who are you? Well, you're hid in Christ. They can't even see you. They might see you as the villain, but God sees you as the hero because your heart is towards Him and you want to do right by Him and not those other people, because those people don't really matter. It's all about what does God think.